Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, his joy, what turns this person on is the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Smart living. How to live smart. How to live and achieve what so many people are trying to live and achieve by cheating, stealing, lying, breaking the rules. You keep God's rules, you believe God's word, and you'll come out not only far ahead, but you'll come out healthier. Your mind will be healthy. Your body will be healthy. And you'll spend eternity with the Lord. Now, there's three things that he talked about. He said, blessed is that person. And there's neither male nor female in the sight of God. I mean, we all must be born again. And the word is for male and female, man and woman. So blessed is that believer that walketh not, number one, in the counsel of the ungodly, nor number two, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Three things. First of all, wrong advice. Where do you get your advice? Where do you get your advice? Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Where do you get your advice? So sad that so many young people think they learn so much about life and sex from the wrong sources. From the locker room, from the back room, from the alley, from television and video. Wrong advice. Wrong advice. Wrong advice can ruin your life. Wrong advice about your finances can destroy your finances. Wrong advice about your body can break your health. Wrong advice about how you're to conduct yourself can literally destroy your life. Wrong advice. Where do you get your advice? Secondly, it deals with wrong company. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Well, I thought we were supposed to win sinners, but not company with them. Not take up their ways. Not think like they think and talk like they talk. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. In other words, the people that you choose to be with, you sometimes cannot help who you work with. Sometimes you cannot help who you go to school with. You cannot help certain company that you have to keep for a while. But when the choice is yours, you do not stand in the company of ungodly people. You don't talk their talk. You don't walk their walk. You don't spend time with them. Why? Because the Bible said they're losers. You don't learn anything from a loser except how not to do it. This is so simple. Avoid wrong advice. Avoid the wrong company. There are some believers that never have learned the lesson you need to choose your friends wisely. That's why some believers can't keep the victory. Pump them up on Sunday morning and it's seeped out before the Monday morning comes around. No matter how sweet and wonderful people are, you don't have to adopt their ways and let their craziness affect your life. So blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is that person who does not walk in ungodly counsel, wrong counsel, nor stand in the way of sinners, wrong company, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, wrong attitude. wrong attitude. Did you ever meet a person with a bad attitude? They can ruin your day real quick. Bad attitude. I was thinking about, I believe it was the first time that I flew to Australia. And boy, it was a long, long flight. We flew from here to Honolulu, had about an hour and a half. Couldn't have been over a two-hour turnover, turn around, and then we flew on to Sydney. And then when you get to Sydney, you've got to fly to Perth. I didn't know much about travel at that time, so I just flew straight through like a real smart guy, you know. Man, when I got there, my clock was wound backwards. Full of airline food and not enough sleep. Because when you fly from Sydney to Perth, it's like flying from one coast, east coast, to the west coast. Except it's further. There's more real estate there than we have here. And flying over from Honolulu to Sydney was a crew that should have been exiled to some island, wherever. Bad attitudes. I remember I was in coach and my elbow was hurting. Had been on that seat, was not comfortable, and I just couldn't get my elbow. And I said, in the middle of the night, I said, "Ma'am, could I get a pillow?" She said, "What do you need a pillow for?" I said, "My elbow's hurting." She said, "Well, that's hard. That's tough." And I thought, I'm paying money for this. She went back up to the galley and started talking to the others that were there. Coming back, but what the problem was, they'd pulled a double shift. They were tired, they were exhausted, they were out of it. We got on in Sydney, so help me goodness. I heard them talking in the galley as we came by. "Oh, we've had to pull a," whatever they call it, "a double shift." I don't think it's legal now, but they could get by with it then. And one of them said, "Man, I'm so tired." Another said, "Oh, I don't know if I can make this flight." And they were just, you know, and I was like, "Oh, Lord, here we go. An all-night flight with a bunch of gripey, crabby, you know, mean-spirited people." But then I heard them say, and all this happened pretty quick. I was sitting in a bulkhead seat and I could hear. They said, "But why don't we make this a fun flight? Let's make it a fun flight." He said, "Yeah, let's do." And I mean, all night long, it was a hoot. I mean, it was really a hoot. They were throwing things and laughing it was amazing. And the passengers were happy and most of them didn't want to sleep too much was going on. They're afraid they were going to miss something. Flying over, they were trying to forget it, you know, trying to sleep. But you see, the thing that made the difference was attitude. You can be in a negative circumstance and have a positive attitude. I mean, the world can give you a difficult situation, but you can make the decision. I'm going to make the best of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Life can hand you a lemon, but you can make lemonade out of it. Praise God. And so your attitude, "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." You know, a scorner, no one's right, nothing's right, no church is right, no preacher's right. I don't like the way this happens. I don't like the way that happens. Sometimes I just make a statement to appease some folks. I say, you know, all of us aren't perfect, myself included. Someone came up and said, "Well, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. You have a lot of wonderful people." I said, "I know I have a lot of wonderful people, but there's one or two grouches that I have to appease and let them know that we know we're not perfect." "Oh, okay." How are you successful? How are you prosperous in life? Who do you spend your time with? Who speaks into your life? Whose advice and counsel do you seek? Someone that is a loser, or someone that is a negative person, or someone that's just having a hard time making it in life? Who do you pattern your life after? Whose advice are you going to follow? So you cannot be blessed if you follow wrong advice, wrong company, you dwell with wrong company, and you have a wrong attitude. You have a bad attitude. Well, what's the answer to it, Pastor? Get happy about the Word of God. "But His delight is in the law of the Lord." The Word of God. Make this a practice that before you read anything in the way of news or watch any news, that you read at least one chapter from God's Word. At least. And something I've come to the conclusion of, if the world's gone boom, I'll know about it. If the rapture took place and I didn't go, I'm in big time trouble anyway. No, I'm going out on the first load, first class. His delight is in God's Word. Are you one of those Bible thumpers? Yes. You read that old Bible? Yes. Why do you read it? Because it works. Every promise is road tested. Every promise in God's Word is road tested. There's not one promise in this book that doesn't work if you'll just trust God. And as Brother Kinder preached so wisely, obedience is better than sacrifice. Sometimes it's easier to sacrifice than it is to be obedient. His delight is the Word of God. But they'll call me a word bird. Try to live up to the title. Hallelujah. You're going to go by someone's word. You might as well go by the Word of God, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And God began to speak, and the Word of God began to speak, and things were created. Just like the young people were singing tonight. They were prophesying. That's what the Spirit of God showed me. That song, that particular song to us tonight, was a key that the Spirit of God was prophesying to us. You're a history maker. You can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. When you pray, things happen. You're not just church attenders. You're history makers. His delight, her delight is in the word of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Old Sourpuss, when I was back in Bible college, bless his heart, he had a doctorate, but bless his heart, I don't know how he got it. But anyway, moving right along. Well, he did. He was smart in his own dumb way. But I mean, and one day he said, well, I determined that you're one of those promise people. I said, what do you mean by that? Well, that you probably preach a lot about the promises. You probably maybe overemphasize the promises. What you need to do is go deep into the Word of God. And learn all the history. Well, I want to learn the history and I want to go deep. But friend, when you're going down for the third time, don't hand me a dictionary, hand me a life jacket. Huh? I mean, when life's caving in on you, don't lecture to me about Paris. Tell me how to get out of the mess I'm in. His delight is in the Word of God. Yes, I am a promise man. Yes, I do preach on the promises of God, because God gave us exceedingly great and precious promises that by these we might be partakers of His divine nature. The promises are invaluable. Thank God for the history. Thank God for all the things, the background. And I love things like that. I love it. But being a pastor keeps me exceedingly simple and practical. Because sometimes I have one last run at someone's life before they're going into eternity. We've got to give it our best shot. Delight in the Word of God. His delight, her delight. Put the Word of God before everything else. Make the Word of God to be first place in your life. And he shall be like. It didn't say it might work out. If he gets lucky, it could come to pass. It said, and he shall be like. You know, the thing that God's really been impressing my heart with, tell the people to believe that this stuff really works. This is not preaching material. This is not teaching material. Teach people that when you live God's way and believe God's way and you do what God said to do. You know, Evangelist D.H. Phillips was such a blessing to this church. He blessed my heart in ways that I could never. He was down to earth, but he was a powerful man of God. And if he had not been injured in the automobile accident, sometimes he said, Brother Nichols, he said, my spirit is just racing, but my body can't keep up with my spirit. I understood what he was saying. He went on to be with the Lord. His wife was about 12, maybe 15 years younger than he at Melba. And ever since he passed away, we've blessed her and we've remembered. We were blessing him before he passed away because he couldn't get out and hold revivals. See, this church does a lot of things. We're not takers, we're givers. And when the man of God couldn't get out and raise offerings and do the things that he used to, he lived a very sensible life, a very frugal life. He didn't live in, he had a good transportation, had a nice place to live, but not big, not fancy. But I said, brother, you've blessed us through the years. We want to bless you on a monthly basis. And when he passed away, we didn't stop doing that. We said, we're going to bless the widow of the man of God. And we have faithfully, in fact, her brother-in-law, who's a minister, he said, brother, he said, I marvel. He said, I've never seen a church do what your church has done. And it's not that, in one way, it's not a big deal, but I guess it is. We've just been faithful in doing something. But you know what touches my heart? Every month, just as sure as we send a check out there to her, the tithe comes back to this house. And I got to thinking the other day, we're raising a generation that hasn't been taught some of that. We're raising a generation that still argues about the tithe. And they say they tithe, but you don't tithe when you tithe half a year. Tithe is all the time, every time, 10%. That's what it is. And Brother Phillips was always faithful. Whatever offering the church would give, I didn't ask for that. It surprised me the first time it happened. But of all the people that have been here, it's amazing how you learn. I've learned so much from that brother. They'd always send the tithe back to the church that blessed them. And so with Melba, I was just thinking about this. My wife is a tither. I want my children are tithers. I want my grandchildren to be tithers. The tithe is not a necessary evil. It's not God trying to steal your money or extract your money. It's just God's way. And when you do things God's way, I'd rather do with a little bit less on this earth until my ship comes in and do what God said to do and know that I've pleased the Lord. It's not law. It's not legalism to me. It's just that way. That's just the way I was raised. That's the way my wife was raised. And every month when that check comes through, I said, here is this woman. Here is this woman. The things are not as, not the income it used to be when Brother Phillips was out on the field and so on. But here's this woman. I mean, her tithe comes just as faithful. And the other day, something extra came in. She said, Brother Nichols, I'm sending some extra tithe this. She said, someone bless me, and I want to bless the church that has blessed us. What's that all about? She's learned how to be a blessed woman. And everything's going to be taken care of in her life until she goes to be with Jesus. You wait and see. It will be. So the Bible said his delight, her delight's in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Said it'd be like what? He shall be like. She shall be like. Get your mirror out. Let's get the mirror out and play like we're looking at what we shall be. Look at your little mustard seed. Look at your acorn. Look at your seed. I'm going to tell you what you're going to be. You just keep doing it God's way. And I tell you, God bless. I know we don't have the Sunday morning crowd, but God bless you that have been faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful. Oh, when you get to heaven and see, I don't even know all the stuff that's going to happen there, but it's coming to pass. He shall be. You shall be. What? A tree. Well, thanks a lot. Honey, you look like a tree. That wouldn't go over very well, would it? Oh, honey, you're so beautiful. You look just like a tree. Well, the first thing she'd want to know, what kind of tree are you talking about? Like a tree. Only God can make a tree. I remember being taught art in school, and I started learning how to put the limbs and the foliage, and it was so thrilling to me. It wasn't a very good tree, but I could start drawing a tree. And my creative mind I'd sit there and I'd draw trees. And oh, this, that, what, like a tree. What kind of a tree? A tree's not much good unless it has roots. That's the problem in churches today. You got a lot of trees with no roots, shallow roots. Like a tree, planted. 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 You can pull up a twig, but try to pull up a tree. Just run out there and put your little winch on your 4x4 out of one of those big mighty oaks and just back up and have yourself some fun. You'll pull everything inside that truck out. Because that tree is going to outlast your 4x4 and your winch. It's been a long time since I've told it, so I'm going to tell it. About a mile from here, we'd bought our first little project house. Very expensive home. We paid $7,800 for it. I think our payment was at $89.50 a month. Kirk Mack Mortgage Company. Man, that was a big mortgage. And I wanted a tree. And so I looked down behind the church where we were associate ministers. Told my brother-in-law, I said, let's go get a tree. We're not going to wait for a tree to grow up like these other suckers down the block. We're going to go down there and get us a tree off the creek. Man, we went down there and we dug to China. And we dug and we dug. Oh, I've done some crazy things in my lifetime. I mean, we dug until I thought we was going to hear somebody speaking Chinese. And finally I said, James, I think we better just cut the roots right here. I don't think we can go much further with this thing. So we cut the roots. And we had a little 1948 or was it a 50, little red Chevy pickup. That was our labor force when we started the church. I bought it from my father-in-law. Paid him $75 for it. And we went down there and... Now remember, we never got that tree out of the bottom down there. I thought we were going to pull the clutch and transmission out of that little old truck. And finally we pushed, we pulled, we winched, we did everything. And we finally got that tree up in the truck and headed out for Haltom City to our little project house. And we dug another hole down to China, planted our tree. And I walked out about 2 days later. It had been raining all night. My trees... Well, I don't give up easy, so we went out and put ropes on the tree and straightened it up and drove some deep stakes. And no, it never blew over again, but it died. And I was sitting out in our little carport one night and watching people drive by. I said, just wait until you see our tree. You're growing those little old bitty twigs out there. Just wait until you see our tree. They looked at me like, yeah, boy, you'll find out. My tree died. The tree I'm talking about tonight is not a dead tree. It's a live tree. And it's not roots that have been cut off prematurely, but it grows. And those roots, the root system. You don't see all the tree on top of the ground. It's the root system that's the life of that tree. And those roots will go down until they find water. And they'll go down until they become strong and established. And the twig that you could pull up at one time, try to pull it up. It's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A strong tree, a growing tree, a tree that has roots that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. That's what is so needed in the kingdom of God today. Not people singing, I'm happy, I'm glad, but people that are bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Some people always want to do something at the wrong time. I was in an airplane, a little prop job, and I learned this from a pilot. The engines were not in sync, and I was the only one on the plane that knew it. It was vibrating, and I could tell by the sound. And I remembered a pilot that went up and talked to the pilot on a flight like that one time, and he got his engines in sync. You got twin engines out there, and if you got one, it'll do it. It'll get there, but it's going to vibrate. It's not going to do what it would do if you get them synchronized. He shall bring forth his fruit synchronized. In his season. Oh, there's so many talented people, but you can't get them to do the right thing at the right time. They want to do their thing at the wrong time. Interesting. Praise God. And his leaf shall not wither. That means he's not going to die or dry up. Praise God. And whatsoever. I don't know if you're ready for this or not. You know, we jump down to the whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But there's a pathway to prosperity. The company you keep, the advice that you listen to, the attitude that you have, giving diligent attention to the Word of God. All of this goes into the mix, roots downward. When everyone else is dressing up the tree above the ground, the root system is going down to water and establishing itself. And it's going out. It's going out. It's establishing itself. There was a time you could pull that little twig up. There was a time you could pull that little slither of a tree up. But criticize it now. You can't phase it. Try to run over it and you'll total your car. Try to mess with that tree now. That tree says, I'm here. I'll be here. I have roots. And there's nothing you can do about it. I'm going to keep on growing. I'm going to keep on bearing fruit. I'm going to keep on. My leaves are going to be green. There's going to be a life content to me. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Write that on the fridge. Put that in your purse. Put that in your wallet. Put that on your pocketbook. Whatsoever I doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever I doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever I doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever I giveth shall prosper. Hallelujah. Every act of obedience shall prosper. Every step of obedience shall prosper. Your being here tonight. The devil did everything in the world to keep some of you out of church. And I know there's times we can't go. I certainly understand that. But you see, I don't know about you, but there's something here for everyone. For boys and girls, for teenagers, for young people in college. God has more in mind for you than wherever you are right now. And you can get it, but if you don't get it right, you won't keep it. And if you keep it, it'll drive you crazy. Ill-gotten gain will prematurely take your life. Most miserable man in the world, among many others, was Howard Hughes. He had so much money, but he was always afraid, someone's after my money. Someone has germs. I don't want people with germs around. I mean, the man lived in stark terror that everyone was trying to get his money, and sure enough, people got his money. I'm talking about money that the world can't steal. I'm talking about money that this world system cannot take out of your pocketbook. Praise God. I mean, stocks may rise and fall and things may come and go, but thank God I'm investing tonight. I don't even know what the interest rate is. I don't know what the return is. It seems like I read something about 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Huh? Woo! I remember I worked for a company called Parker Brown. We loaded gas cylinders on trucks, flatbed trucks. That was my summer job, my junior and senior year in high school. Man, it was a hard job. We would roll them out and wear out a pair of shoes, kicking those things like you have to do and pyramid them and then boom them down and they'd truck them off. But you know who owned that company? A man by the name of Alan Greenspan. No, that's the money man, but his name was Greenspan. Greenspun it was. He came over on a Russian banana boat to America because he heard that there was opportunity in America. Came over on a banana boat. Went to work as a janitor in that corporation. And the old man that was the janitor started buying stock. He didn't waste money, he bought stock. And one day, the company realized somebody's got the controlling stock of this corporation. The old Russian Jew, he wasn't old at that time, but he's the man that came in and he saw an opportunity and he started investing and his tree started growing. And so after a while, they're all working for the Russian Jew. Because he was smarter than they were. While they were wasting their money partying and doing some other thing, while they were wasting their money, the Russian Jew was buying stock. Oh, child of God, you're preaching ahead of me tonight. Thank God. The Word of God said, we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We shall bring forth our fruit in our season. Your leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, don't let the wicked drive you up the wall. Any day, any time that you get all bent out of shape, well, I do the right thing and I tithe and I serve God and I go to church and I don't lie and I don't cheat and I don't steal, and you sound like you're sad you're doing all that. Read Psalms 37 and Psalm 73. Don't do it right now. Just write it down. Psalms 37 and 73. I don't know of anything that'll bring an attitude check like Psalms 37 and 33. Because when you read through Psalms 37 and 73, you'll find out that the wicked are play-like. It's like a movie. It's play-like. It's not real. But the man that prospers, the woman that prospers, is the person that trusts the Lord. So the ungodly are not so. They're not real, man. But they're like the chaff which the wind bloweth and driveth away, and they're gone. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Honey, we're not living for now. We're living for eternity. We're not just living for payday. We're not just living for the next perk. We're living for eternity. And notice in Psalms 1 verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Oh, if the stars fall from heaven and the sun ceases to shine and you never see the moon again. And no matter what happens, the Lord knoweth. The Lord knoweth. God keeps the records. God keeps the records. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. And if you'll notice, two words in Psalms 1. It begins with blessed. It ends with perish. Whose camp are you in? Are you in the blessed camp? Are you in the perished camp? I was around a person just a few days ago who's been a hard drinker, a hard liver, a lady that's been, her whole life has been drugs and parties. And man, I thought she was an old, old woman because she'd been living an old, old life. My heart went out to her. You see, that stuff catches up with you. Oh, it's wonderful. I'm high. Feel good. Everything's wonderful, but the drugs wear off and the alcohol wears off and the party's over and the music dies down. And then where are you? But the Bible said blessed. I'm in the blessed camp. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Are you blessed in the camp of the blessed or the camp of the perishing?